May it please the court.
Counsel.
Again, Andrea Smith on behalf of the appellant, James Bullion. This is a relatively straightforward case. There's only one issue before this court, and that, of course, is whether the 264-month sentence was an unreasonable sentence for my client's conviction, his plea of guilty to the felon in possession charge and of the unregistered sawed-off shotgun. Of course, what that comes down to, of course, is whether that 264-month sentence is unreasonable in light of the post-Booker decisions about what's reasonable and unreasonable. Now, one of the things I'd like to focus on, if I may, because I think this court's going to probably jump on me about my client's prior criminal history, as the district court focused on so aptly at sentencing, in terms of saying that the upward departure or the variance above the advisory guideline sentencing range was appropriate in this case, from the 235-month sentence, which is the upper end of the guideline range, and when Judge Steele gave him the 264 months, the district court, of course, focused on the need to protect the public from my client because of my client's past criminal history.
Well, but truly, I'm not jumping on you, but
no.
Is there anything within the guidelines that advises judges to consider decreasing violence?
No, of course not, Your Honor, but even the Sentencing Commission statistics, and as we know, criminal statistics, they're kept all the time, but recently the Sentencing Commission statistics, which I quote in my brief, show that as age increases, recidivism decreases, and that's clearly
yes,
true in this case.
But that's on average, right? That's on average. The judge doesn't want to treat every defendant as the average defendant. This person is extremely dangerous.
And I can't object. That's accurate, Judge. Judge Posner, that's completely accurate. But my point is if I can go back to the statutory structure bit of the sentencing goals, one of the structure goal might
be appealing this, really. There's no base for this. The judge decides this person is extremely dangerous, and I want him locked away until he really is harmless.
Well, until he dies, in effect.
Heavy sentence.
Your Honor, given
that means he's just giving a lot of weight to the factors in the sentencing in the statute 3553A that emphasize protection of the public against these violent criminals.
And of course, my point.
Reasonable about that.
My point in my brief, Judge, is that, of course, what the district court did here was only look at one of the four sentencing goals. And even before you get to the four sentencing goals, and that was to protect the public here, there's actually four, not just the one that the court focused on. But before you even get to that sentencing goal, the overarching principle of the course of the statute, the sentencing statute of 18 United States Code 3553A, is that old phrase that we've all trotted out here many times, that the court is directed to impose a sentence that's sufficient but not greater than necessary to comply with the goals of sentencing.
Well, the judge says, I think the most important factor that leaps out for my consideration is need to protect the public from you. Because each time you've been released from confinement, you have very quickly returned to a life of crime. Well, that's entirely reasonable. He considered the factors. This was the one which was salient because of the behavior of this person. That's reasonable. You shouldn't be. I mean, lawyers have to get the message that you don't come up to the Court of Appeals and make the same argument you make to the sentencing judge. You can make if it's rejected by the sentencing judge, unless he makes some, you know, palpable error, you're not getting it anywhere with appellate review.
Actually, Your Honor, this argument was not made to the district court below. There was an agreed upon sentence and a plea agreement. My client pled. There was a recommendation of 200.
You don't make it to the district judge, you can't make it to us.
Your Honor, there was an upward departure in this case. I don't agree that
you We don't talk upward
variance
anymore.
Upward variance. I apologize. Above the top end of the advisory guideline sentencing range. And my suggestion, Judge, is that this isn't a reasonable sentence when you have a defendant who's 59 years old, who's on insulin, whose expected life expectancy.
What does that mean on insulin have to do with anything? Can't diabetics beat up people and shoot them and so on?
If I may, yes, that's of course that's true, Your Honor. But the statistics show that the average white male is
going to... average. This is not an average person. This is not even an average criminal.
Your Honor, the court was sentencing my client to death in prison. And I think even the agreed-upon sentence, much less the 15-year mandatory minimum sentence that was applicable...
He beat up his wife, right? He's in his 50s, right?
He's 59, yes, Your Honor.
58, okay, so happened. He's a violent 59-year-old. Well, how do we know he's not going to be a violent 67-year-old?
Well, even if he'd gotten the 15-year mandatory minimum, Judge, he would be 71 when he got out if he got all of his good behavior in a few years in a halfway house, as I set out in my brief. He's going to pose, even if he survives the 6 years beyond the point where the statistics show that he'll probably die because of the insulin and his high blood pressure and his medical problems are getting worse as time has gone on, because a white male is expected to live to 78 years old, according to the statistics, 12.8.
Oh, no, that's life expectancy at birth.
Your Honor,
you have to look at the life expectancy of the age of the person who you're imprisoning. At 59, you have a longer life expectancy than you do at birth. Obviously, I mean, the period to your life expectancy added to 59 is going to be more than 78. Now, maybe it comes down because of his health problems.
Well, I was estimating, Judge. It's only estimation. Of course, it's always an estimation. These kinds of actuarial guesses.
And you don't look at the person's life expectancy at birth. You want to figure out how old someone 59 is expected to live.
With his diabetes and his long-term insulin-dependent diabetes, I estimated, according to the information I had, Judge, that he would probably expect to live to 65. So at 71, which is what he would be when he got out, if he only got the 15-year sentence.
Life expectancy means, suppose his life expectancy is 65. That means that 50% of the people in his risk class will die before 65, 50% will die after 65. So even if his life expectancy is only 65, he has a 50% chance of living longer, coming out and committing more mayhem.
Well, and of course, the recidivism statistics indicate that the older people they are and the more medical conditions they have, the less able they are to commit violent crimes, or less likely they are to do that, Judge. What the district court...
But of course, the judge has to make an individual assessment.
And what the district court judge was doing here was actually sentencing him to death. I think if he'd sentenced...
No, we don't know that.
Statistically speaking, I think that's probably what's going to happen.
You know, everything you're saying here is what you say in the district court. As Judge Posner said, the government's going to recommend a 211-month sentence.
Yes, sir.
You were satisfied with that, apparently.
Yes, that was agreed and negotiated.
But the judge just thought he needed more time and...
He did, Judge. He obviously did.
And I agree with Judge Posner. There's so many of these cases that we're seeing. You're just asking us to say the district judge should have acted differently here, and that's not the standard. I don't see how you can say the sentence is unreasonable. If 211 months you agree is reasonable, 264 months of... It's not that much greater, I guess, but 211 months puts him far beyond his 15-year maximum as an armed career criminal.
It does, Your Honor, but as I suggest in my brief, I think this is a visceral reaction to his previous violent criminal history, not a reason.
Why isn't that an intellectual reaction?
Because I think his three kidnapping and rapes were so heinous, and they were set out in such detail in the pre-sentence report, that any of us in this courtroom would have that kind of emotional reaction and say, I'm going to lock this guy away as long as I can.
I understand you. The fact that a person has committed vicious crimes is relevant to sentencing. It's not emotional.
It is, but this court has said that... excuse me, Judge. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just suggested in my brief it wasn't a reasoned decision.
If you sentence a mass murderer to death, well, you're emotional because he killed so many people, made you upset, right?
I suggest this isn't a reasoned sentence, Your Honor, given the facts below. Thank you. And I see my time is up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Smith. Mr. Crow?
Yes, good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court, opposing counsel. Indulging Judge Evans's point for a moment, the agreed-upon sentence here of 211 months as set forth in the plea agreement belies the defendant's exception the defendant takes to the actual sentence imposed by the district court, inasmuch as had the district court imposed the sentence agreed upon by the parties in this case, that in and of itself would have taken the defendant beyond the 65-year life expectancy that he himself represents that he might have based upon his diabetic condition. As the court has also, I think, appropriately noted, this is not an elderly or infirm individual. This is a man who at the age of 58 was engaged in a physical altercation with his wife in which he held her to the ground and ultimately shot the sawed-off shotgun that is the operative weapon of conviction in this case. The fact that by merely possessing that weapon, the defendant was eligible for a 180-month sentence under the statute 924E for armed career criminals is in and of itself indicative of the fact that the judge's upward departure here, as it were, within the advisory guideline context.
Upward departures anymore.
Well, I appreciate the court's point on that, Your Honor. I'm trying to at least indulge the defendant's argument in that regard for purposes of argument only. And I'd submit...
Let's not talk about departures. It's just a confusion.
Fair enough. Well, in the context, Your Honor, then, of this court's decisions, post-Booker, of course, then, and as the court recognized in the Castro-Juarez decision last year that's cited in our brief, even when examining a sentence in light of the upward departure context of 4A1.3, it is ultimately the reasonableness of the sentence and not the court's application of the guideline authorizing an upward departure. The defendant's arguments as it relates to his medical condition are not well taken. The guideline that permits taking into account the medical condition of a defendant under 5H simply advises that if they are significantly infirm or have other physical limitations that are operative. The court here addressed the operative considerations of the physical condition of the defendant under 3553 by sentencing him to a federal medical facility within the Bureau of Prisons. I take exception to Ms. Smith's representation that the court addressed only one of the sentencing factors within 3553A. As we've pointed out in our brief and as the Judge Posner has excerpted from the sentencing transcript, that within that very excerpt that the court has read, the court addresses all of the factors set forth in 3553A2 to protect the public as well as to address the seriousness of the offense, a matter which the 211-month plea agreement, the court, I think, reasonably concluded, may not have contemplated. And that takes me to the only final point I'd like to make, Your Honors, and that is the defendant's argument here presumes that there must be one sentence that adequately addresses the conduct but goes no further than addressing the conduct. And based on this court's pronouncements in the Baker case this year, I think it's clear that we need not discern whether or not any other sentence than that imposed by the district court could have been reasonable, but rather, especially when here, the sentence was reasonable to begin with, we may rest at that. I thank the court, and I'll yield the balance of my time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crow. And Ms. Smith, how much time does she have? No time, but do you have anything further you'd like? We'll give you a minute if you'd like. Sure.
I know this court was getting, has shown its impatience with people bringing these repeated reasonable arguments up here, but of course our clients have the right to appeal. And when we have a plea agreement in this case,
yes,
we
of course. But if the appeal is frivolous, the lawyer is supposed to file an Anders brief.
Well, my client would not consider it frivolous, Your Honor. When
file a frivolous appeal, right?
Your Honor, my clients would beg to differ when they're
yes,
hanging their hat on something.
Yes, and when that happens, of course, when a lawyer files an Anders appeal, we ask the client whether he disagrees with the points made in the Anders brief, right?
Yes, Your Honor, but...
A criminal defendant has no right to force a lawyer to file
right.
a frivolous appeal.
That's correct. Yes, sir. But, of course, the reasonableness is can be a subjective standard, depending
yes,
on the judge,
precisely,
the lawyer.
Precisely. That's why the scope of review is so limited, right? If it's subjective, in other words, if it's discretionary, then we're not going to reverse just because If we were the sentencing judges, we might have been more lenient.
That's true, Your Honor, but my client does not necessarily going to agree with me filing an Anders brief and saying this is a reasonable sentence.
It doesn't matter whether he agrees with you. Don't you understand?
Yes, I understand.
The lawyer does not require his client's consent to file an Anders brief.
I started to go on, Judge, and say not necessarily do I agree that that was a reasonable sentence in this case either. And so I didn't think a Anders brief was appropriate here.
Well?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.